Howdy, welcome to Racing Only Better, as we're here to preview Goodwood and Galway once again in the company of Mr. Kevin Blake. How are you, Kev?
Hello, excellent, Hubert. Couldn't be good better.
Ah, fantastic. You're vaccinated as well. Going around kissing and hugging everybody. Ha, what's wrong with you?
Second time Pfizer yesterday, Hugh. I'm like a new man, boy. Like, unrequited gestures of affection everywhere.
Yeah, I think we can be locked up for less than that, Kev, I can tell you. Daniel Barber is with us as well. Dan, how are we? All good?
Yeah, that's the name of my autobiography, Kev. Nice and quite everywhere.
Right, okay, lads, we'll get stuck in if we can. The 150 on the card, the Unibet handicap, it's a mile and a quarter. The wonderfully named Aryan Power, of course, in the headlines for all the wrong reasons recently. 4-1 is your market leader. You've got Al Fadel at 9-2, Kader at 8-1, King Frankel 8s, Patient Dream 8-1, and you can have 9-1 bar. Right, Kev, Aryan Power, we know the controversy the last time. But is he worth another stab here at 4-1, despite the atrocious name?
But look, first and foremost, Hugh, we must say the weather forecast has once again turned against them at Goodwood. They didn't really know what to expect coming into this week. They got 33 mils on Sunday and they got another 16 mils last night. So we're now on heavy ground as at the time of recording. They've been really unlucky. So by the time we get to Thursday, one assumes we'll still be dealing with soft ground. And that's going to throw a spanner in an awful lot of works. Aryan Power, that you mentioned, hasn't met ground anything like that in his life. Look, clearly should have won at Doncaster last time. If you're not familiar with it, what he was referring to there is Mark Crean, the jockey, dropped his hands. He mistook the winning post, dropped his hands, and was beaten. Really unfortunate. 28 day ban. Horse should have won. Nightmare all around. And the handicapper gave him £4 just to give him an extra kick in the arse. But he had to do that, in fairness. So look, he's one that has to be in the mix. I'm sure he'll be a popular horse. Look, in terms of fishing around for ones that are likely to handle the ground, and I know, look, sometimes when the ground turns like this, we can overdo the revision of our homework looking for horses with soft ground and sometimes lose sight of the bigger picture, ability, etc. But look, Patient Dream is a horse that has met soft ground a couple of times and has handled it very well, very much on the up, has won around a tricky track in Epsom earlier this season, so the demands of Goodwood, one would hope, will be okay for him. And for our good friend Rafe Beckett, he certainly seems to be progressing. He's £3 higher than his latest win, and he might well be able to defy that rise and go very well here.
I can tell you something. If I had 25 doses of the vaccine and Ralph Beckett had 25 doses of vaccines, there's no way he'd hug me this side of the back. I'll tell you that much. What about you, Dan Barber? Who do you like in this one?
It's a good job Mark Johnson's got some runners as usual this week, because I won't be having any tips otherwise, because I'm with another one of his here. I mean, King Frankel was poor last time at Newmarket. Mm. And you and I have been following him for a while now, Huber, and it hasn't clicked since he won by the small match of 32 lengths at Pontefract that day in a maiden. But he's second to the likes of Bay Bridge, that fourth at Royal Ascot. They're all good pieces of form. We know these Johnston horses can find £5 or £7 for running at Goodwood, and he's not badly drawn at all in six if they want to go across and try and force it. Stablemate now, Moose might have something to say about that. But if the ground continues to be soft, they might even take him out because he blew out completely on heavy ground last season. So his stablemate exiting stage right would be a help. Kim Frankel could get to the front. And I mean, I've just read this book so many times before, and it has a pretty similar ending with a Johnston horse toughing it out from the front.
You just picked the wrong one.
Yeah, probably.
That's often what happens with the Johnston horses.
Yeah, mine will be disappearing at the back of the TV as something else is finding a ridiculous amount.
I like this horse as well, so I hope you're right, and hopefully King Frank will go on and do it. I won't be backing him, but sure, look, we'll see. The 225 is the Richmond Stakes, Group 2, lads, over 6 furlongs, and at the time of recording, Asymmetric is your 5-2 favourite. Perfect Power at 3-1, Gubbas at 3-1. You've got Ebro River at 6s, and it's 10-1 bar. So probably concentrated down in the top 2 or 3 in the market here, unless you think something at a bigger price will run reasonably well. Who have you come down on?
Yeah, I do think something at a price will run well. We'll just quickly deal with the first two. Unfortunately, on the Tuesday, we're missing out on a bit of a form test here, because Lou Sales come out of that race on the first day, and Asymmetric, who was second to that horse. Now, we won't have that early in the week pointer, which we so much like at these big festivals where the strength of form starts to reveal itself as the week goes on. But yeah, discussing also, I'd probably have Gubbas favourite over Asymmetric because I like what he did at Newbury and I think he's certain to improve for the six furlongs. But I wouldn't rule out Gizza Sub, and at a price I'll put him up. He looked very quick at Pontefract and I know he's a 5-4 favourite and the weights favoured him on that occasion, but it looks a good piece of form. Hello My Darling, the runner-up, since been placed in the pre-Robert Papin at Shanty. Sir Maximus has come out from third and has been third to Le Sale, not beaten far in that July stake. So it's one of those on a line through. But Gizza Sub just looked a very, very speedy juvenile who might be a Goodwood horse and might have the dash to get across to that rail if that's the place to be.
14-1, listeners. 14-1. Grab it while you can. Good stuff. I love that. Right, Kev, what about you? Who are you down on?
Oh, finding it tricky now, Hugh, and I'm going to have to go away and kind of hammer this again, looking at pedigrees and actions and everything else with a view to the ground, because a fair few of these, the ground will be an unknown for them. But one that is probably going to be on the very short list and will probably end up being the selection, in fairness, is Ebro River, trained by Hugo Palmer. He's one of the few that has met soft ground a couple of times and won on it. Mm. Look, there's definitely a kink in him. The couple of days he won, he hung and flashed his tail, but he's very talented. I know, I suppose one could say that maybe he found his level a little bit in deeper company, but he wasn't beaten all that far in the Coventry and then again in the July stakes, and they're both on quick ground. He's getting back on soft ground here, and that might just be a help to him. So the type of price he is, he's got a high level of form in the book, he's proven in the conditions. And I'll almost certainly end up going with him, I'd imagine.
Okay, all right.
Just have some last minute checks to do later on.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. Well, at the time of recording, Ebro River is at decently priced 6-1 and Gizza Sub is 14. So at 2 each way stabs there if you're so inclined. The 3 o'clock is the John Pearce Racing Foundation Gordon Stakes, lads. Group 3, it's a mile and a half. Wordsworth is your 9-4 favourite for Aidan O'Brien. Ybir is 4-1. Third Realm, 4-1. Youth Spirit for Andrew Bowling is 8s, alongside Ottoman Emperor and Sir Lucan, also 8-1 for Aidan O'Brien. And it's 10-1 bar those. Right, Kev, Wordsworth, I mean, he's short enough here. Is he deserving of a 9-4 tag at the moment? And will you be with him?
Oh, these are hard races, these ones. You know, we still have a few in the calendar there in the last kind of 6 weeks or so that, you know, horses that have come back from the Derby and that, you know, that have finished mid-div or a little bit better and they're dropping back into lesser company, and they're difficult to work out now. But Wordsworth, in fairness to him, he's been a model of consistency all season. You could say he's been steadily progressing. He was second to Hurricane Lane. He finished a little bit closer to him in the Grand Prix de Paris last time than he did in the Irish Derby. So I think you can definitely assume that he is still improving a little bit. And look, that sets a standard. The ground should be fine for him. And he looks to tick plenty of boxes, but his price will tell you that as well. Of the market leaders, he's probably the one I'd lean towards. But I would give a little mention just to another Rafe Beckett horse, Elias, who's going to be a much bigger price. I do find him interesting now. He's progressed very, very well. He sluiced up on really bad ground at Haydock at the start of the season. Now, it wasn't much of a race, not particularly. He won it by literally 10 lengths, and he was below form at this track, Goodwood, on his next start. But last time he went and beat a horse that I like called Title in a listed race at Hamilton, to very much, you know, get back on track. So I wouldn't like to entirely rule him out, but again, this is a race I need to hammer down more. But if you're talking at the front end of the market, Wordsworth is probably the narrow shout at the minute.
Okay, I'm looking at Ottoman Emperor for Johnny Murta here, who's gone for 4 in a row. First time over a mile and a half, stepping up in trip. And I think he's interesting, making the trip over. But Dan, who do you like in this one?
Well, in terms of digging, I have to do a bit more and find out what running plans are for a couple of other horses, just with a view to longer term. Hurricane Lane, they're both in the ledger market. But at the minute, I'd probably have, if they weren't running, I'd have Wordsworth favourite for that race. I think he's crying out for the ledger trip. Has he plateaued at the distance of a mile and a half so far? It's possible. He got absolutely thrashed by Hurricane Lane, who's very special, but he did do best of the others. So I thought he was a likely starting point. The turd in the punch bowl, so to speak, Sir Lucan, because he's beaten Wordsworth. in a first time out. But where the heck's he? Where's
no,
he been
no
for?
One like, no
weeks?
One likes a turd in the punch bowl. That's a bad result for everyone.
He's, vaccination he's, or no vaccination, stay with
him. He's floating around there, and we don't really know where he's been for the last 11 weeks. So I prefer my turds more recent. And Third Realm's just been off for 54 days since the dive. But the key for me is I'm just banking on this still being softish ground by this stage. They're calling it heavy on the first day. He was so effective in the Derby trial at Lingfield on softish ground. He's not got the same size as a day I we had behind him that day. And that form almost certainly flatters him a bit. I wouldn't take it literally, but it wasn't like he was disgraced in the Derby, finishing fifth under different conditions. The ground's still testing. I think you'd have to make Third Realm fab for this.
Lovely. Okay, good stuff, Dan and Kev. We move on to the feature race on the day. It is the Group 1 Nassau Stakes, Qatar Nassau Stakes, over a mile and a quarter. It's 3:35 on the car. Audaria is your 7-4 favourite at the time of recording. Lady Both Hope, our old pal, is 5-2 from threes. A little bit of support. Joan of Arc, 5-2. Empress Josephine is in there at 10-1. He ran a cracker in the Irish Guineas. Ziada is 10-1 and Technique 33-1. So it's a short enough field for the Nassau. And, you know, Kev, Lady Beauthorpe, obviously friend of the podcast at this stage. Are we sticking with her, or how do we see this race unfold?
Amashi's very solid too, isn't she? Like, she's the one of the older fillies here, primarily taking on the younger brigade, and she's very solid. She just keeps running very well. Look, has she repeated what she seemed to show when second to Palace Pier earlier in the season? Perhaps not, but she's still running very well. Look, last time she was certainly better than the Bear result. And on another day, you know, definitely would have finished a bit closer. And she was right up the tail of Snow Lantern and Mother Earth and Alcohol Free, etc. But I suppose that Falmouth gives us a nice bit of evidence in terms of where the three-year-olds line up against the older horses. And as it transpired, the three-year-olds dominated that race, really. And the only exception being Lady Beauthorpe on their tails. So that's an interesting piece of evidence here. But look, we're over a longer trip here now. There's a couple that might well be suited by that. And, you know, I think Empress Josephine's a big enough price, you, because when she won the Irish Guineas, the ground was very bad. And that day she looked to be crying out for a bit further. They went over to Ascot. The rain came. I know she was, you know, expected to run well. She was disappointing. You know, finishing effort was very much in contrast. She was, you know, weak off the bridle, whereas she'd found loads at the Curra. So maybe there was something up, just wasn't quite in top form on the day. But look, she's been freshened up since. She steps up a trip here, which I think will be a help to her. You know, she seemed to be improving with every run, taking a good leap forward with each run up until last time. So I just thought she was a big enough price now. You know, big respect for Joan of Arc. She was only a short head behind Empress Josephine at the Curra and has come out and improved for the step up in trip when winning the Prix de Diane. But yeah, there's a big old differential in the price there, Hugh, and that makes Empress Josephine quite interesting, I feel.
Of course, Lady Beauthorpe has been very good to our old colleague, Mr. Tony Calvin, who, by the way, gentlemen, if you haven't heard, is now officially a grandfather. So we're going to have a granddad on the podcast in a couple of months.
I saw that. Congratulations, Tony.
Congratulations, TC. Good stuff. We're delighted for you, in all fairness, even though we do have to have a granddad on the podcast.
Looks very similar.
Galway Festival baby, too.
Very similar. Yeah, no hair. Big double
chin. Bald head, bit of chub.
Right. Who have you come down on, Dan? Who do you like in the Nassau piece?
I'm sticking with her. I mean, she's been an absolute smasher, Lady Beauthorpe, this season. If it becomes tactical, I'd trust her turn of foot more than any horse in this race, because I think she's definitely got one. She was mega unlucky at Newmark. I'm not saying Snow Lantern wasn't, or should I say didn't do well to win, because she had to overcome a bit of trouble as well after getting boxed in. But as Kev said, that probably suited that filly a bit. And Lady Beauthorpe just got even further back, but she came home with a rattle. She's by Nathaniel. The dam side's a bit more muddy as to whether she'll relish the longer trip, but there is the odd 12 furlong horse in there for all there's a fair bit of speed as well, and she has got form at 9 furlong. She won that Daily Stakes first time out over that distance. I think she's still thriving. I discussed a few times one of the lesser rides of the Royal Ascot week was the one on her where she went directly down the middle when all the evidence suggested you wanted to be one side or the other. So she's genuinely done nothing wrong this season since that reappearance win. And she just looked like she was still thriving to me when she ran at Newmarket. She finished I mean, another 20 yards or so, I think she'd have been pushing the winner close, let alone finishing place. So with that clear evidence to me that her good form is continuing, I'm inclined to stick with her.
Okay, good stuff, lads. That is the feature on day one. The last of Goodwood before we talk about the Galway hurdle is the 410 in the card, the Brown and Rudnick handicap over 7 furlongs. It's a difficult, wide open race. Ard Brackan is your 3-1 favourite. You've got Adjuvant at 6-1, Aswan 6-1, Highland Premier 6s, Robasta 8-1, South Audley. Look, you can make a case for a handful of these, Dan. So I don't
know.
Trying to narrow it down.
One of those hands that they have at the baseball, those massive ones.
Well, tell you what, give us a needle in the haystack then. Which is the biggest needle that you can see from this vantage point?
Oh, gosh, I really don't know. I mean, it is rock hard. This Adjuvant's been impressive in 2 starts today, and it's not like the standard Michael Bell thing to have a horse win and be that sharp on his first 2 starts. That probably speaks well for his potential. But guess where I'm going? Mr. Johnson, Highland Premier, an improver in his own colours, which is normally a turn-off for some people. But he's made a successful nursery debut. First time at the trip, it was on good to soft ground at Catterick. He dominated and got better and better as the race wore on. And it's going to be at least as big a test of stamina at Goodwood on Thursday, I'd have thought. And he just looks right in that classic mode. Just keep galloping. Of course, we know they can finish last, but they've got a pretty strong habit down the years of finishing first at this place.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, Highland Premier 6-1 at the time of recording. What about you, Kev? Who's your needle?
This is just extremely hard.
Yeah, I'm saying, I think I've got any really conviction behind that. I mean, it's
just extremely hard. But look, Highland Premier, Mark Johnson, you know, by Highland Real, has his first runners this season. Has only had a handful of winners so far, a handful of runners really, but this fella has been his main flag bearer so far. And look, he handles soft ground, he stays, you know, you'll probably need to get probably further than 7 here, truth be told, if the ground remains, you know, on the soft side. So look, he ticked the box for me, but Jesus, it's hard now. Yeah, most of these have never got near soft ground, so they could absolutely love it and find a leg. You know, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, we've done our best to guide you through the Goodwood card. Then the Galway hurdle is the feature, obviously, in the West and Ballybrit. And winner takes it all is your 6-1 favourite. Obviously, it's a 2-mile handicap for those who are not too familiar with the race. 6-1 for the winner takes it all for Joseph O'Brien, which we'll get Kev's thoughts on in a second. Belfast Banter for Peter Fay. Is back for more after running a cracker at Cheltenham. Is it 7-1? Cape Gentleman 8-1. Magic Tricks 9-1. Saldier 10s. Soul Pretender 10-1. Sky Ace is in there. And the filly for the boys out in Dubai who bought her for about 20 quid at 12-1. Arcadian Sunrise Milkwood. Look, there's loads of these again. It's wide open once more. I mean, look, Band of Outlaws is interesting to me, Kev. I know I haven't seen him obviously in a while. He's interesting back over hurdles here in the 2 miles, but Joseph's winner takes it all as your 6-1 favourite. What's your race?
Winner takes it all as a horse I like. It took him a long time to settle down. He was a free goer for a long time. He's doing things much better now. And just if anyone's wondering why he's in this race, he's in off bottom weight of 132, and the reserves are all kind of higher than him, 137, 136, 136. The race he won at Bellistown was a winning you're in race for this. So that's why he was guaranteed to get in. So that's why he's there. I'd be worried of the rain, Hugh. I'd say he wouldn't have wanted that rain now. He really enjoyed the ground of Bellistown. That was lovely. And the rain would definitely be a worry. You'd hope there's more to come from him now, but the rain might just have scuppered him. And Band of Outlaws that you mentioned there, I thought he was a bit unlucky in this race 2 years ago myself. I was headbutting the wall after it. They just, you know, if unusually for a Galway hurdle, they gallop. And he wants a gallop, you know, and he finished off his race very well. It was a bit messy for him. I thought on the day he was a bit unlucky, got hurt after that, and we didn't see him for quite a while. But he's had two grand runs back, and so look, he's back to the same set of circumstances that saw him run really well in the 2 years ago. It'll be softer ground, which is fine. That's no problem. So he just, look, it's a big ask after missing so much time, but he'd be hopeful he'd run well. But neither of them are my selection. I am going for Cape Gentleman for that man, Emmett Mullins. I'm really interested to see him lining up in here because we talked about him a lot on the podcast over the winter. I just couldn't believe that I kept running him over mid-range trips and longer trips. I didn't think it was him for him at all. He's quite a free goer. He's a very slick jumper. They dropped him to 2 miles at Kempton, and he duly won. I think it might have knocked him that day. And his run at Ascot last time, he was extremely well backed. And he ran well. He just got a bit far back, and one assumes this has been the target since then. He's in off a lovely weight. Look, the drop to 2 miles is the key. One would hope they'd go a good gallop here. Not always guaranteed, as we just discussed, but the faster they go in front of him, the better. And yeah, I think a mark of 140 is very much within winning scope for him, given that he's rated 101 on the flat. So Cape Gentleman for me, Hubert.
Okay, Cape Gentleman for Kevin at 8-1. What about you, Dan?
Oh, I'm going to party like it's... I'm going to say 2009, but to be fair, Tony Martin won this race with this horse in 2019. I'm going to have a stab each way on Tudor City. He's been a standing dish in this. He's now down to the same mark of 139 from which he won it. He's got Jack Foley claiming 7. I think it's fair to say he's been one of the claimer finds of the season. He's been riding a good few winners lately. And Martin's only runner this week on the first day, the evidence so far, was a good staying on second in a flat handicap. So positive signs from the stable that they might be having a proper go at it this season. And he's just been a real standing dish in these fast run 2 mile races. I think he'll give a good account. And I know he wasn't quite so good when he tackled the race in 2020, but he was off 147 that day and he was still beating only 10 lengths into seventh. He's now £8 lower. And he's been ticking along fairly nicely on the flat with runs, to be honest, that don't suggest his ability is diminished that much. So I'd be Tudor City amongst the hold-up horses, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Soul Pretender do a bit of an overturn. Tremendously fluent jumper, this horse. He'll blast off in front. He's still improving. Lightly raced for his age. And it's kind of say, it's rare they go slow in this and allow something to dominate, but it's not unheard of. And it isn't chock full of genuine pace forces. He is one, and he's just a very likeable type. They're two that I think will give a good account of themselves.
Lovely stuff. All right, gentlemen, naps time then before we call it a day. I'll kick us off. I'm going to go with Belfast Banter in the Galway Hurdle because I just think this thing just destroyed everything at Cheltenham and at Aintree. And I was always slow to kind of latch on to him, but I am now. They've kept him in training, obviously, for this. So the prize pot is good. He must be here to win it. 7-1 is a big price for me, but a horse has won at Aintree and Cheltenham in a handicap like this. So I'm sticking with him. What about yourself, Dan Barber?
I was going to go Tudor City, who's bigger still. He's 33. He's on the sports book at the moment, but I'll be a bit more cautious. I'll go for the old lady, Lady Beauthorpe, to win that race at Goodwood.
Okay, 5-2 at the time of recording. And Kevin, your nap, please.
And I'm taking you on, Hugh. Head to head, knuckles up, ready to scrap until someone
Cape
goes down.
Cape Gentleman.
Get up, you boy. Win only. All duck or no dinner.
Yeah, me too. Will only as well. Right, Belfast Banter against Cape Gentleman, and Dan can have Lady Beauthorpe all to herself. Right, gents, thank you so much. Please gamble responsibly as always. We're back tomorrow with the preview of Goodwood and Galway as well on Racing Only Better. We hope you can join us then.